Let's turn in John's Gospel now. John's Gospel in chapter 2. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 25. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 25. And God's people hear now God's infallible and perfect word. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles to Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And those are the words of our God. Here is the first miracle that Jesus performed after his before the start of his public ministry, really, after having the Holy Spirit poured out upon him, and this private occurrence at the wedding, and here, as he turned that water into wine at the wedding feast, we're reminded of the honor that the Lord Jesus shows upon marriage at the wedding feast here, and also the blessing of marriage showed by the miracle of making wine. He's showing this is a blessing. This is a good thing. And of course, reminding us of Christ's love for his bride, the church. And then after his public ministry began from verses 13 through 17, Jesus came to Jerusalem for the Passover. The Jews were desecrating the temple by selling the sacrifices inside, so it wasn't holy. It wasn't set apart anymore. The Levites should have been kicking them out. They hadn't done that. It should never have happened in the first place. They were profaning the worship of God. And so Jesus drove them out to fulfill the Scripture. It's interesting when we read that He made, in verse 15, when He saw what was happening, He made a scourge of small cords, a whip, basically. But He sat there and made it, and then drove them out. And that to fulfill the Scripture. This is shown, beloved, as the righteousness of God. Perfect righteousness to drive them out. Without sin. Zeal for the house and worship of the Lord. Ought to remind us of the elders' duty today. And the zeal we ought to have for true worship. And some quarreled with Him about that, what authority He had. And so He gave them a sign pointing to His death and resurrection through verse 22. That He would, His body being destroyed, and He would raise it up on the third day. And then the last verses, some were believing in Jesus, having saw the signs He performed. They saw with their eyes, and so they believed. And as we'll see, is a common theme in John's Gospel. Many people believe just because of the miracles that they saw. Many of these people would also, the same people, fall away when trial would come. And that's what He's talking about there at the end, knowing what is in man. There was no true faith. It was seeing. And so they believed what they saw, but they did not trust Him. We are to truly follow after Christ by trusting in Him, not His miracles. The miracles only show forth that He is from God and that He's been given authority by God. But we trust in Jesus Christ because He's the crucified and risen Savior. And so we are to believe on Him as our Savior. And you are called to believe on Him as your Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful that You grant to us Jesus, who speaks to us through it. We're thankful for the little children that You have blessed us with in this congregation. We're thankful that they sing Your praises too, as we learned last Lord's Day. And Father, we're thankful for those babies in the womb. And so we pray for them, for Jake and Marissa. We're thankful also for Oscar, Michelle, and any others who might have children in the womb. We pray that You would cause those children to grow in strength and health, keeping the mothers healthy as well, and that their births would go well according to Your will, not according to our will. Father, we're thankful for life. Life that is in Christ, Your Son, our Bridegroom. We're thankful that You have made us to be part of the bride. And what a great blessing You show this to be in the celebration of the wedding feast, which points us in some ways to the Lord's Supper. It points us also to the blessing of feasting with Christ at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. We're thankful for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Pray that You would keep using the sacraments to grow us in faith and strengthen us to serve You, to live for You, to seek first Your kingdom according to Your word. And Father, even of our children and any others present who don't know You, Father, turn them from their sins and turn them by Your Holy Spirit and Your Word to you, the living and true God, and to your Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, who draws all those of your elect to yourself. Father, by your Spirit, draw your people, draw your elect, even this day. Father, we give you praise. As we mentioned this morning about, in passing really, about Adasa, we pray that you'll keep teaching us the ways of the world and the wickedness that's happening. We're thankful for the life that she lived, and pray that you'll continue comforting and granting peace to Michael and Audrey. Pray that you'll be with Jeff Yalton and his surgery on the 30th, helping him hopefully with his sleep. Our Father, we also ask that you'll be with Tim and his being in Ghana, and then also Vanessa, who's doing better, and we give you praise for that. You're the God who heals, and you'll use doctors to do that. We pray that you'll bring greater healing in the coming weeks, that she might even be able to come home or come here for a time to recover better. And thankful for parents who keep serving her, and pray that you'll uphold them and uphold her. Father, we also ask that you'll be with our nation. So we pray this morning that our leaders and this nation would covenant with Christ. And then we see around the world, like in Afghanistan, terrorists being raised up again, and more of them coming up. And then that might bring great fear to us, or anxiety, as we heard this morning as well. Father, give us a peace and a trust in Christ, who reigns on the throne over those terrorists and over that nation. And Father, at the same time, many people in this nation being called terrorists this past week, for nothing to do with terrorism by our government. Father, we pray that you'll turn them from that path, and that we would not care so much about names that various peoples might be called, but that we would trust in Christ and remember that first and foremost we are Christians, and we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And Father, it seems that with the virus going around and another variant coming about, and another variant that will be coming after that, it seems, and has been described by many, Father, we pray that again that our trust would be in you, that we would not fret over such things, but know that you're the God of not only the soul but the body, and that we would trust you, and that we would also seek to build up our immune systems, and that we would seek and continue to seek to serve and worship you no matter what comes, whether governments or terrorists or viruses, that we would worship you and you alone, and faithfully do so in the face of many that might try to stop us. We pray that we would stand firm. We are weak, and so of ourselves we will not stand firm. And so we need your Holy Spirit to do what you call us to do, to be holy as Christ is holy and righteous as he is righteous. Father, we pray for the congregations who need ministers in Denver and Manhattan, Laramie. Pray for those in the Pacific Coast Presbytery as well, in San Diego and Fresno, Seattle, Edmonton now, and Los Angeles. many churches need ministers. And the fields are white for harvest. And so provide ministers, Father. Pray for the Clarinda congregation where Jonathan Haney will be installed this coming week, and give you praise for that. We ask that you would equip him and strengthen him for serving there, and pray for that congregation that they would obey their leaders as they're called to in Hebrews 13, I believe it is. Even their elders. Father, we ask that you'll watch over that congregation. They're weak and small, mostly older folks. And in time, it seems maybe they'll pass and there'll be no longer a congregation. But that's not our desire. We pray that you would bring reformation, revival to them and to, as we prayed this morning, this nation and the church. And of course, that means that we need to repent and we need to turn to Christ in all things and seek to worship Him exactly according to His Word and live by faith in Christ by the Spirit, lives of obedience in Him and union with Christ. We pray that we would seek after that, pursue that with zeal, and that we would not stand at ease in a wicked time in this present evil age, but that we would stand upon Christ and His Word. Forgive us of our sins. They are many. And yet you are gracious and merciful to your people. And so uphold us and show that covenant love towards us. Not that we deserve it, but that you would do so and show it to us because of Christ your Son and because of your promises, that we would have hope in the promises, knowing that you will be faithful to them, each one. And so be faithful. And may your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.